Hello, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and it's been a month since we were last here. So talking of a long absence, where are my two podcasters to make sense of all this? Firstly, a man that's common sense is the foundations to this podcast, laying down the statistical stability for all else to follow. It's Sam, south of the River Sankey.
Hello there, nice to see you.
And also a lad that's nonsensical ways know no bounds. No doubt back with more factual tackle bus of amnesia, it's Dennis, north of the River Waywell.
All right.
Ah, well, we're back, boys. We're back. It's lovely to see. I'd forgotten just how ugly you both are. In my mind, I thought you were these two strapping lads, handsome, but now it's turned out you're back on my screen and you've aged even more. How have you been, Sam?
I've been very well, actually. Just going very well over here now. But never mind that. What about you? You're going to tell us about tiger sharks and crocodiles.
Yeah, didn't we? Had too much food. I mean, Dennis has already pointed out that my stomach's increased a little bit. I just like to think it's the way I'm sitting, if I'm fair.
I always say that. You've got a pillow behind you and your base of your back.
Yes, so too much food, too many snakes, one too many crocodiles, and a sleeping tiger shark that was on the edge of the reef. We couldn't quite go on the reef because it was out. It was one of the one days in the year where it was above the water. So unfortunately, we had to swim around the continental shelf. I said continental, Dennis. And there was a sleeping tiger shark, 2 metre tiger shark just on the bottom. But we lived to tell the tale.
Looking at the size of you, you might have eaten it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Have you been eating your vegan meals? Have you been away?
Pretty much. We went north of the Daintree with a population of only 500 in an area the size of from Warrington to Morocco. And I was still able to get vegan food. I'm still just lucky to get any food, if I'm honest.
I've been drinking my kombucha and... I noticed today I was sat here staring at the bottle. It's actually an Australian drink, kombucha. It's made in Australia.
Let me have a look at that, Dennis. And, hold that up again, mate. Let me see.
Nexpa, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the shit one. Yeah, shit one here that no one drinks, yeah.
And actually, you get a 10-cent refund on the bottle.
Only in Adelaide, mate.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll send them you back anyway.
Oh, thank you.
And you've got 40 cents in your pocket.
Well, we're saving up for another holiday in 6 weeks. We're doing it all over again. So if you could send me those, that would really help towards the airfare. So.
Not a problem.
What have you been up to, Dennis?
I've been living in the wild.
You've been off-grid, haven't you? Been off-grid for a while.
Yeah, I'm going again this weekend. I'm basically starting to turn my life to living off-grid. So that way I can get all my creative thoughts together and feed it into the podcast.
If you want any sort of literacy.
Jesus, advice, Dennis, he's gone even worse.
I know.
I have.
Hey, Christ.
I'll tell you what, let's say that again. Read Rogue Mail. Read Rogue Mail, and then he lives off the land while he's escaping from the Nazis. It'll give you some clues.
Should we get on with this? Because this is total and utter gobshite, isn't it? Let's kick in. We'll start with, of course, the Euros. We've all kind of been watching the Euros. Dennis, I think, only sort of watched the final. And Sam watched a bit of it. What did you make of it, Sam? What was that? What was your end conclusion in that final game?
Oh, best team won. It was like watching Warrington get to the grand final against Wigan. And you know they've got a chance. But you know probably the result's going to be that Wigan will win.
And as the game goes on, you just feel it sliding away, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was like. Yeah.
I did text Rob and say the game's over after the first goal. It killed the game.
Yeah, but let's face it, every text you send me is like negative, isn't it? Like you send me about 100 texts a week, all of which are doom and gloom because you're living off the land now. That's the way it is. So anyway, just a quick one. What would you prefer next year? Would you prefer Warrington's drought of not winning Super League to come to an end, Sam? Or would you want England to win the World Cup? If you could pick one, where does your allegiance lie?
Warrington.
Is it? That's interesting. Yeah. Dennis?
Yeah, I'm not really interested in football.
You'd go Warrington, would you?
What about you?
Sorry, my mic's not working. Sorry, I just have to carry on. Sorry. No. Did that come through?
Count.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start with our first poll. The first poll was, who's most likely to win? We gave four options, England, Andy Murray, Wire, or Hancock to get his wife back. 42% believe that Matt Hancock will win his wife back rather than Warrington winning Super League. He got 11% start on Warrington. Would you agree with that, Dennis? You think Hancock's probably got a better chance than Wire this year?
God, that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, I don't know where he's gone now. He's disappeared, Andy Hancock. So,
he's gone off you meant Warrington.
No, I was going to make a little, you know, and yeah, I was going to compare it to Warrington. But yeah, I think he's probably still got his hand on his cock.
Odds on. And Hancock?
Yeah, I think he could come back.
Sam, you agree with that? 11% more chance of Matt Hancock getting his wife back than Warrington winning Super League this year?
No, not now. Not now. We've got a new dream partnership that I'm sure we'll talk about.
Interesting. Okay. Well, just one last poll that we did, which sort of touches again on the Euros and Warrington. Do you give a shit about rugby league during the Euros? We gave four options. I've lost my resilience, came out with 4.8%. Sod the football, 22.4%. What's rugby league? ? 5.7%. And watching both, a clear winner on 67.1%. Have you managed to fit it all in, Sam, around Mrs. Sankey?
Yes. Yeah, no problem. She's well trained. She'll take herself off upstairs and watch something on the other TV. Oh.
Mrs. London at, I think it was 2-2 in the penalty shootout, asked me when I was getting off the laptop and helping out with work.
Excellent. Yeah, forgot time difference. Yeah, you were at a different time of day, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that's the way it went. Okay, right. Whilst we've been away, Wire have played. We've played five games, boys. We should have played six, but we had the COVID debacle over at Hull KR. So we've ended up with the five games. I can't remember any of these, so I think it's going to be left, unfortunately, to Sam to guide us through. Dennis, do you remember any of them before I read the results out?
Interesting, actually. I've wrote down some highlights of each game.
Really?
So,
Jesus Christ. Okay, game one. Warrington 38, Wakefield 18. There were tries for Widdop, Curry, Mamo and Charnley. Charnley got three. Widdop kicked seven goals. Were you there, Sam?
Yes. Yeah, I've been to all the games that you've been allowed to go to. Charnley scored all of his in the right-hand corner. It was an obvious return to try-scoring form for him, although he's still a little bit 50-50 defensively. But there was never any doubt of that. In fact, that's the game I remember least of the...
It's the furthest away, isn't it?
It is the furthest away, but that was this year.
It's like an egg timer, isn't it, Sam's brain? Now, just imagine all that sand at the top of his head.
Just dropping through.
Just, the Wakefield grains are just falling out through his arse as we speak. Falling away. Am I right in saying that I could have scored those three tries that Charlie scored?
Apart from the fact that you wouldn't have kept up with play, but if you'd have kept up with play, yes, you could have gone in unopposed. Yes, I'd agree.
I don't think you would have played you on the wing, though, Rob. Not with that new stomach of yours. I think you'd be, you know, running up the middle like Chris Hill, and let's not forget his big bust to start proceedings off in that game.
Really?
I thought that was a bit of a highlight.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember any of this whatsoever. I was clearly on holiday drinking mocktails and cocktails and vegan food.
Well,
and
one thing that we can say is I think that Widdop is in the peak of his form at this point, and he basically was involved with more or less all the tries bar one. And he ran the show.
He did. He one try, one assist, ran for 100 metres, four tackle busts, kicking goals for fun.
Are you reading these, Sam, or are you just making this up?
It's coming straight.
I keep the research going. All my spreadsheets are up to date, guys.
Excellent.
He's got him on all those pieces of papyrus in front of him, hasn't he? just with his crayon.
Post it.
We've mentioned a few times this year, you know, it's basically the opposition. How shit are the opposition? We started a how shitometer. I think we had Lee peaked at about 8.5 on the shitometer scale. Shitometer scale for Wakefield, Dennis. How shit were Wakefield?
Well, the first thing to note is coming out in a very light blue kit. And I just don't think that offered anything, a big bulky team coming out. And I think they only managed to scramble, I think it was about 7.5 they were around there.
Seven and a half. Do you know, I don't remember any of this whatsoever. You could be making this up. You could say to me, well, you know, Wakefield all came out on the back of Indian elephants. And I'd be like, oh, really? Did they? I've no clue what went on. Sam, shitometer, how shit were Wakefield?
The whole season is developing into a bit of a shitathon.
Them and us, isn't it? It's them and us.
We are showing bits of quality, but at the other end of the table, God, it's awful. Wakefield, Salford, Huddersfield, Lee, Castleford. God, Castleford. Yeah. Castleford look like they've given up.
Who's their
just
coach?
All putting the.
He can't
putting the money in next week.
Where's he going to get a job next year, that bloke? I mean, exactly. Absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on possibly to the highlight of the year. And it was a very low-scoring game, but St. Helens 2, Warrington 6. One try for Sam's pin-up boy, Curry. Another goal for Widdop. 6-2.
It was, when you watch back on the missed opportunities as well, I think there's we could have probably scored another two tries. I think I made note. I think Widdop blew a particular one where there was a big kick which he chased and actually got himself in a perfect position, caught it, and then tried to do a bit of a sneaky kick through. Whereas Chris Hill, again, you could have just thrown it inside and he probably would have gone over, or he had support and they would have got another try. But, you know, other than that, great game, beaten. Good defence.
Sam, are Saints the team that they were last year?
They didn't look it in that game, but I think what we saw there is what we've seen from Warrington on three or four occasions this year. We saw it first against Catalans. Our defence was aggressive. We were up, we were in the faces. It was spread right across the team. Very few mistakes, very few missed tackles, and the longer it went on, the more and more comfortable I became. It was as if
we grew and grew
as it went on with confidence, and they just didn't look like scoring. Unless we'd have made a complete howler, they looked like they had no way of going through us. Very impressive. Yeah. I mean, on the if we're going to be a bit negative, in the middle of the game, as Dennis has just alluded to, we could have pressed home our advantage more and been out of sight.
Ruthless.
But do you know what? Super victory, unexpected victory.
Oh.
And
unexpected. I could have wrote that.
When we sat here talking about what would happen, we thought we might win two of those four games. Warrington, Saints, Wakefield, Saints, Lee and Wigan. We thought we might win two of those four, maybe three at a push. We didn't look at the Leeds game.
Starting to sound a little bit like the Tory government around their COVID policy, aren't we? We're a little bit all over the joint, what we're saying one week and what we're saying the next week, really.
Dennis, I appreciate we're going to get onto the Leeds cock-up, but what we've got to say is we showed great consistency for seven games, which is something we've not been doing.
Six.
Was it six?
Oh, you're going back past to when we last had a podcast.
Yes.
This is what happens in an old people's home. You just end up with three blokes all talking, not really listening to each other, all sort of on different time frames. Is this what happens? Oh, I've pissed myself again.
Oh. Waiting for Godot.
Jesus Christ. Were Saints shorter players? Was that their strongest 13, or was someone not around? Well, I can't even remember What was going on there?
Oh, I can't remember myself now, but it was away at St Helens.
Did they have their big props?
I think they had
on?
A relatively good... Yeah, I think they had a relatively decent side out.
Okay. Just point out at this point that Dennis has got a background on his Mac of the old traditional test card. We should really put this up. Test card picture of that girl playing Noughts and Crosses with the doll. He's got Carl Fitzpatrick as the doll and Steve Price as the little boy. Yeah.
Steve's, we have used this picture a few times.
Steve Price actually looks more attractive as a woman, doesn't she?
I'm all confused now.
Okay.
I know you are.
Right, here we go. Warrington 44, Lee 18. Tries for Austin, Davis, Widdop, Charnley, Walker, Dorrow and Lynham. Goals 7 from Widdop, and there was one penalty from Widdop as well. Sam, I mean, you were going to go to Toronto. You had your tickets booked. You had Mrs. Sankey on that flight. You were probably going to take in a Michelin star restaurant whilst you were there. Take her up the CN Tower or whatever it is in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that was all dashed by Lee entering the competition. Do you think it's been a worthy candidate for Lee to come in?
Not really. But then again, it's not really Lee's fault either. They're down on funding this year. Some of their funding's been withheld. Probably because
it is cheaper for you to get there, though, Sam, isn't it, Lee?
Much cheaper.
Toronto.
The highest building in Lee?
That's a good question.
It's probably.
Could
it's
you do some research on that?
Tower
Dennis?
On Pennington Flash.
Could you find out what the highest building in Lee is and come back to us?
Okay.
Okay, but I am actually looking forward to, COVID permitting, a trip to Toulouse next year.
Very nice.
I tell you what, Sam, don't go the week the rugby's on because it'll really fucking spoil it. Try and get yourself down there. Better time. Shitometer again. Then how shit were Lee? 44-18.
Well, we played a team half of lads, and what I meant to do, and I'm afraid
meant.
I forgot.
Yeah, that
very
Dennis
sorry.
Meant to do.
Meant to, meant could to have, do. Should have, would have. Was count how many Warrington-born players we played that night at one point on the team. We had Pulis, Robson. Yeah, exactly. Walker.
Is that it?
Is that it?
It was a really, really good stat, that, Sam.
Look, I just want to say something.
Longstaff, Wrench. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I've mentioned Widdop. And again, in particular, a slight bit of a difference here is that Widdop and Austin, for some reason, start clicking, start playing a bit closer together, tries going each way. And I think Ratchford joined that as well. I think he started to sort of contribute to that little ball-playing combination. And I think
He didn't against Lee, Dennis, because he didn't play.
I've been making notes.
I've drawn the line in the wrong place. The other good thing about that was Dorrow's
right,
try.
You have been clicking, yes. Yeah.
Dorrow got his try, which I was quite pleased to see about.
He's quite a strong lad, isn't he, apparently?
Mm.
I want to see, before Chris Hill disappears to Huddersfield, I want to see a combinational move between Hill and Wrench. And then the headline could be something like, Plumber Hill passes his Wrench to score, or something. There you are. What do you think?
You didn't think about that. That could have been a lot better. You know that, don't you?
Is my mic working?
Yeah.
Okay. Next game, Wigan 14, Warrington 40.
Oh, took a lot of pleasure out of this.
I just can't put this shitometer away, Sam. I mean, it's here again. We've had Lee at 8.5. Did Wigan beat them?
Well, we certainly gave them a good hiding, didn't we?
Tries to Wrench, 3 to Mamo, Davis, Hughes and Curry. No, Widdop. Widdop had been injured at this stage, had he? Because Ratchford kicked the goals.
Last 5 minutes against Lee, Widdop did his ankle.
Oh, imagine getting injured against Lee.
I'd like to ask a bit of a question for you, Sam. Was that Darryl Clark's first kick offensive kick that has led to a try for Warrington.
He'll have that. He'll have this on his fingertips. You watch this now.
Well, I couldn't. I'm afraid I can't tell you if that was his first ever kick, but he's only put in 5 attacking kicks this year so far.
Right.
And he's only assisted 5 tries, so I'm saying it's his first kick this year. I can't remember any others.
You know what, Dennis? We left him in charge for 5 weeks. You went off grid. I went as far north as possible, and we left him in charge. And what, he's done nothing while we've been away, has he?
Would you like to know about Mamo's hat trick?
Yeah, go on then.
He, scoring the 3 tries, he ran for over 200 metres without a single try assist from a Warrington player. Could all be categorised as Wigan mistakes. 2 interceptions, obviously, and then leaping to take a restart, a short restart. So he didn't have a single assist for them tries, made all on his own.
Always amazes me when the commentators say, oh, look, Jake Mamo's learnt off Lee Breers by tapping the ball up rather than down. Who on earth coaches a rugby league player when trying to intercept a ball to tap it down?
Oh,
I mean, it's the basics, isn't it? Absolute basics. Yeah.
The other highlight in that game was the I put wrench footwork where it led to one of the tries. I thought that was really good composure.
Can I come in on this, right?
Yeah, go on.
They were all creaming the pants on Sky commentary, right? That Wrench had clearly done something like, you know, Jonathan Davis with electrifying speed, you know, twisted off one leg, come back inside, beautifully drawn the fullback and scored, right? It was basics. If I go down to Manly and watch the girls playing touch footy on the beach, I can watch 100 girls do that in 20 minutes. Let's not get carried away. He did the basics. He went through a gap. He drew the fullback. He passed the ball. Didn't pass it forward, and we scored. I'm not saying he's not a good player and he's a great prospect, but let's not get carried away on this. All right.
Let's not get carried away on this.
I would agree with the let's not get carried away.
Here we go. Caveats. Come on, press the button. Here we go. Press the button.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
Credit where it's due, he did show 1 or 2 flashes of real promise in that
promise
game.
Or competence?
Both.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's Wigan done.
Now, this is just where we all have a little sleep in the retirement village. Like we all just drift off, and then one of us comes back around in about 3 minutes.
I've got Ratchford, Austin, and Widdop playing together. Where the hell were they playing together then? Because if Widdop had gone off
earlier in the season.
Okay, Warrington 16, Leeds 22. Now I've been a little bit anxious over the last few weeks because clearly we've been winning. And, you know, we were just waiting for the wheels to fall off, weren't we? Because that's what Warrington do. It's traditional for us not to turn up occasionally. And I'm pleased to say all my anxieties disappeared when we lost this game. Who wants to go first? Sam, what did you make of it, mate? 2 try to Walker, 2 more to Charnley and 2 goals for Ratchford. But we lost. 16-22.
What I was most disappointed about is that we seem to try and find every possible way to beat ourselves during that game.
Are we self-harming now?
19 handling errors. To put that into context, the Wigan match, 6, and the league game, 8. But 19 errors. And we just turned the ball over and turned the ball over against, to use your phrase previously, nothing more than a competent Leeds team.
Mm-hmm. Were a lot of the handling errors coming because we were trying to play catch up footy?
No, it's right from the word go. Mm. Right from the word go. It's through all the way through the first, all 3 of their tries, the field position came from us turning the ball over before we got onto the halfway line. Mm. All 3 of them. And it was so reminiscent of watching the Huddersfield match, where the first half of there, it was as if we came out and we thought, oh, it doesn't kick off for another half hour. We're just on a bit of a warm-up. And
I think this, Sam, I think there's a correlation between this and the full moon, because it seems to be periodic, doesn't it? Everything just sort of like, it was never going to work. It never going to happen.
Was it a full moon?
I don't know. The point is that did they not put a smaller side out? I don't think he got the side right. I think there was a bit of tiredness and fatigue.
We got dominated by their pack.
Yeah.
And the best prop in Super League is playing for Leeds. Why we didn't get hold of
Matt
him?
Pryor.
He reminds me a little bit of Cooper, what he does, but he's smart as well. He's a good footballer. He's come over at a good age. We should have snapped him up, because I just thought they got on the front foot. We had Walker and Davis out there. You know, they're just too small. You just can't have both of them out there at once. We did start to look a better team when Clark came on, but clearly Clark's running around on one leg at the moment.
There's something not quite right with him, isn't there? If you say about one leg, it seems he had a bit of a groin strain, but he's also had a slight issue with his shoulder.
Well, he's got a baby, hasn't he? I remember when my little one was born, the second one, I had a sore bicep for about 4 years. Lifting the little shit into the car back into. It was just, it was just never quite came right. So,
lifting the little shit.
Yeah, the other thing, I think Ash Handley was getting back to his best, I think. He certainly sorted Charnley out for one of the tries, didn't he, down the side?
Well, while I remember, we'll come on to this now. First of all, I spoke to Alan London about this. And I said to him about the King interception, and I said, "Yeah, he didn't look the quickest, did he? When he got away, that winger from Leeds ran him down." And Alan London said, "The whole of the Leeds team ran him down," which I thought was quite amusing. But also, we should say a big shout out to Alan London, because about 3 weeks ago, he received a telegram from the Queen as he turned 100. So happy birthday, Alan London, on your 100th. Birthday.
I'm sure he's really happy with that.
You know why? Because he kept running into his 60s. He used to, a bit like Sam, he got out there, he was still running all the way up to Thirlwall Viaduct and back in his 60s, and that's what happens when you leave a healthy lifestyle.
You don't run out family.
Jesus Christ.
Do you want to wish Alan London a happy
birthday before we go on to stats?
You've just done it on behalf of the podcast. Happy birthday, Alan.
And also a big congratulations for Sam's son, who got a first class honours degree. So good on you, mate. Well done. Excellent stuff. Clearly gets his brains from his uncle.
Yeah, that doesn't run in the family
either. He certainly doesn't get them from me, because he's done it in computing and I don't have a clue.
That's ironic, isn't
it? Don't we know
Christ almighty. Jesus.
Anyway, I want you to know that the games against away at St Helens and away at Wigan, that's the first time since Steve Price has been here that Warrington have won away at both those teams in the league in the same season. We've won 3 times out of 5 on neutral grounds, but prior to that, we'd only won 5 of 6 away at those grounds. Mm. So, could be times are changing.
Where do you find these stats? How does your mind work to go looking for that stat?
I just thought it's unusual that we won both and went looking.
I bet he's plagiarising this, Dennis. We need to find his source. He's got a little source.
Would you like to know where the grounds are that we've won? All right, fair enough.
Well, let's just wrap this up, because as we said, we went into this and I think we more or less, or I did agree with you, Rob, about they'll probably lose 2 and win 2 or something like that.
I've got it here. I've got it written down what we all said.
Yeah, all right. What are we thinking now then? Because I know you're you were hoping that Steve Price would be gone and we would have lost a few games.
I've been behind Stevie all year. Don't tarnish me with your Stevie sackings.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about it now that, you know, you out of that, you know, you just look at it as a period of time. you know, winning four, losing one, while we've been away.
Hey,
how do you feel about it now?
Well, looking back at it, Warrington Wakefield. I went Warrington. You went Wakefield. Sam went Wake. Sorry, we all went Warrington, so we all got that one right. Saints Warrington. Sam and you went Saints. I went Wire. Warrington Lee. We all went Warrington. Wigan Warrington. I went Warrington. Sam went Warrington. You went Wigan. And Warrington Leeds. I went Leeds. You two went. You two went Warrington. So you two got three right. I got all of them right. And then the Hull KR game.
That's a surprise, isn't it?
Hull KR game. You two both went for a Wire win. I went for a COVID postponement. So I'm pretty much bang on here with where I think it will be. We come down to this every year, and Sam mentioned it at the start of the season, and you mentioned it on a phone call to me last week, Dennis, when you called to check if I'd got back from my Hollybobs. And that was that it's going to come down to three games. Every year it comes down to three games. And is Steve Price the man to lead Warrington to victory through three games of a playoff? And I have a funny feeling it's going to be a bit like England versus Italy. We might get to the final. We might get to the semi-final. But as the game wears on, the claws are going to come out, aren't they? The claws are going to come out and we're all going to start saying why we lost.
Rob, I think we have got to give this guy a lot more credit than we were giving him at the start of the season. We are the top point scorers in the league after last year being sixth or seventh best and actually playing awful rugby. The quality of the league isn't great, but we've beaten Catalans twice, St Helens once, Wigan once, drawn at Hull. So they're the other teams in the top five. And whilst it will come down to the playoffs, and his record in the playoffs the last couple of years has been very poor, as we sit here now, played 13, won 9, drawn 1, lost 3, I think that is a superior position than we thought we'd be in after that first weekend against Castleford.
I agree with you that, and you know, it is a good season as you look at it now. We must be about two thirds of the way through, but you know, just going back to that point that Rob said, those three games.
Yeah.
What are we going to do different, or what are we going to do when we get there to change it up a bit? I think is what I'm worried about.
I think it will see what our form is going into the last four or five games of the regular season, and that hopefully gives us an indication. Whereas if we're just clinging on to fifth place, no good. But if we're challenging in the top couple, then we can go in with confidence.
It's going to come down to the weather, isn't it, though? Because the weather turns.
Possibly.
And we haven't got the pack to take on the weather.
Possibly.
Every year we don't have the pack. This is why Wigan come to the fore. You know, they disappear halfway through the season because they've only got Bevan French running around with any speed. But when it comes to October, late September, and it's a big muddy pitch at Old Trafford, props win you the game. And we haven't got the pack to win it.
I agree with you, but I think we are heavily reliant in that area of getting to the end of the season with both Chris Hill and Mike Cooper being, shall we say, fresh, injury-free, not carrying big niggles, and Darrell Clark. And to be fair, in terms of his size, Jack Hughes, he's not setting the world alight in terms of his physicality.
When does his contract finish, Jack Hughes' contract? How many more years have we got of Jack Hughes?
I agree, he's not setting the world alight, but we're going to be reliant on those players. And hopefully Philbin, because for me, Philbin's plateaued.
He's been playing out of position, has he? Has he been coming on as sort of a higgledy-piggledy forward?
Well, you could argue...
Can I ask a question at this point, please, Sam? Because you'll know the answer to this. What's a false nine in football?
I suppose I suppose you could go that way and say Philbin's a false 13.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he? A false 13. Right, okay. All right. Yeah. Akawala, have we got the stats on how many minutes he's played over the past 12 months?
Yes, I can tell you that he's averaging 7.5 seconds per game.
Oh, lovely.
And of that, he's making half a carry per match. Mm. Now, in all seriousness...
That wasn't serious.
Yeah.
I thought they were his actual stats.
That was Sam being funny again. Get the applause out. Get the applause out.
I'll press the button. I'll press the button.
He isn't. He doesn't play enough minutes, does he? When the minutes that he does, he's carrying the ball 10 meters average, but he's not playing enough minutes because it would seem after 10 or 15 minutes, he's knackered. He's starting to miss tackles. Price doesn't obviously trust him, so drags him off the pitch.
There was a game where he was on the bench and he didn't come on. They didn't use him. In one of these games, wasn't there? Wasn't
you mix,
unless he just came on for seconds and I didn't see him.
I think that was the St. Helens game where he came on for five or six minutes and then went off again and didn't come back.
Jesus Christ. It's like Jack Grealish, isn't he? Comes yes. off.
Against St. Helens, he carried the ball three times for 18 metres. Three carries for your fourth prop.
Penalty shootout, Dennis. You've got to pick five players from Wyre to hold their steel and resilience to take a penalty. Who would be the five you'd pick?
I'd pick all the kicking ones, wouldn't you? So you got Widdop.
Would you? Think Widdop's up to it? You'd pick Austin to take a penalty.
Oh, shit. I fell into the trap.
That's going over the bar for sure. I can just see it.
Yeah. But you'd pick all your kicking players, wouldn't you?
No. I'd pick Chris Hill for sure. Chris Hill's taking me first penalty. Mike Cooper, me second.
All right, is that so we can go home now?
I'd probably put Lynham in there. I could imagine Lynham running up and stopping right by the ball and doing something silly.
Yeah.
That's what we'd do. Put him in. Jake Mamo, definitely sticking me. Always rely on Jake. He'd be me. And then my fifth one, I'd probably go for Greg Inglis. Because I think he could he swing that leg? Could he just about make contact? Okay, it's hankies at the ready, everyone. It's over to Daniel and Whitney.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
Mamo has been very, very good this season. He's played at centre. He asked Steve Price to play at centre at the start of the season. He got his wish, and he's come up trumps with 9 tries, which is very, very impressive, including a hat-trick most recently against Wigan, 2 interception tries and 1 from a short goal and dropout from Wigan. Previously for Wyre, he's predominantly played at full-back or on the wing. That's where we saw him most in his first season in 2019 after signing from Huddersfield. And to be honest, struggled really under the high ball more often than not, dropping it, to be honest with you. So I think what we've seen this season is Mamo really played to his strengths in his best position at centre rather than at fullback on the wing, where he doesn't need to be under the high ball. That's not something he has to be faced with. What Mamo's biggest strength is his pace and his running game, and he's great with interceptions as well, and he's done that a couple of times this season against Wigan, as we mentioned, and also I think one against Catalans earlier this season. It would have been interesting to see how people would have perceived Mamo over the 3 seasons had he played in centre more than he actually has done. He's a player that is a very likeable player, a very likeable guy, very amusing with his interviews, someone a little bit different, a bit of a character, and I really, really like that. And he has been a decent player, particularly this season. He's played some really good stuff. Am I gutted to see him go? Not really, but I'm equally not happy to see him go. It's one of those where he's going to be replaced by Peter Metautia, so it's a straight swap, really, with Castleford. And I think they're probably about a similar level of player, really. I think they're probably a similar standard of player. I don't think it's a disaster to lose Mamo. In the centres, we're going to have King, who is probably the best centre in the competition, Toby King and Metautia. And we've got young Connor Wrench's backup as well. On the wing, Charnley and probably Ashton, assuming that Lynham does leave. And then fullback, you've got Ratchford, with Fewis able to cover both fullback and the wing. So where would Mamo have got game time next season? So you can't really blame him for wanting something new. He wasn't going to get time in the centres, certainly. He probably wasn't going to get time on fullback or on the wing either. So Mamo, I don't blame him for going. I really don't blame him for going. Maybe Powell doesn't fancy him.
On his way. He's played so well this year. He scored all those lovely tries and they've let him go. Take over.
It seemed a bit
hold it together, Dennis.
Yeah, it did seem a bit odd that, you know, after he scored his hat trick against Wigan and played so well that he said, and by the way, we're releasing Jake. And that's the end of him. I've done some stats here, Sam. Well, he's finding himself. I compared Mamo with Peter Metautia. I had a look at tries and games and looked at the strike rate. The strike rate of Mamo is around about 2. Every second game scores a try, and Metautia was 6.6, which was basically a 48% chance that Mamo's going to score and a 15% that Peter Metautia is going to score. I don't think that's a good trade. It's not.
Can I just say we're not trading him for Peter Metautia? Greg Inglis has been traded for Peter Metautia.
Metautia,
as he will now be known. Holmes.
Olivier Holmes.
And Peter Metautia. Metautia and Olivier Holmes go in search of treasure on the island of Jersey.
No, I just mean that, you know, we're getting rid of a centre who's obviously got a really good strike rate. He's really fast. He's great interviews. He's full of energy. I just don't get it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Daryl Powell must have his own plans ready to put in place. So,
well, so far this year, Mamo has scored 10 tries, given 2 try assists, and broken 56 tackles. How are we going to say Metautia again? Metautia.
Peter Metautia.
Yeah. Metautia, 1 try, but 4 try assists. And 48 tackle breaks, but from far less games.
Attention, the podcast. Can I clearly point out that Peter Metautia is not being swapped for Jake Mamo? No, Peter Metautia has been swapped for Greg Inglis. Jake Mamo has been swapped for fresh air. Fresh air.
We've had a message from Jake. Jake got in contact with the podcast. He said this. He said, "Hey, Rob. You've probably heard the news, and unfortunately, I won't be staying. Sad to be leaving, but that's how it goes. Sad to be leaving, but that's how it goes." Wow. Kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
I think so. We'd love to keep him, but he's not guaranteed first-choice centre, and you can't blame him. He's proved himself that he can get a first-choice centre gig in this league. Over the start of this year.
Jake Mamo is to leave the Wolves at the end of the year. In a press release, Warrington said, "We'd like to thank Jake for his electrifying pace, the adaptability in playing numerous positions, scoring length of the field tries, and having a wonderful, charismatic personality. all whilst on a lesser wage than several other players that offer virtually nothing and don't give a shit. The club went on to say, we guarantee the fans we intend to fill Jake's squad number with an overaged, overpaid, underperforming player that all the supporters can regretfully watch whilst losing the will to live. England coach Sean Wayne has decided to rethink his coaching tactics following his team's recent loss. It is believed Wayne will take to wearing a lucky waistcoat in a similar fashion to England football coach Gareth Southgate. To lower carbon emissions, the waistcoat will be recycled, with Professor Steve Broomhead offering to donate a pair of his own underpants, with the leftover fabric also set to be made to make over 10,000 face masks for key workers. And finally, Steve Price is to be dispatched by the club on a politically correct course. The course will focus on embracing pronouns, the LGBT community, and Black Lives Matter. Price said he was delighted to be enrolled on the course and stressed when he returned home, if his tea wasn't on the table, there'd be hell to pay.
Well, there's the headlines, so let's move on to the stories. I've probably missed a few off here, boys, because I've really taken my eye off the ball during my my lovely holiday, drinking coconuts on the beach and just letting my feet just wade through the warm Pacific waters.
No, fuck off and get on with it.
Greg Inglis has been released from his contract. Inglis said, it's unfortunate that it's come to this, but the injury is worse than we originally thought. Not too many people get the opportunity and the experience to come over here to the UK and play in Super League, especially at my age. And I want to thank Warrington for the opportunity. I've got nothing but high praise for the club. They've been nothing but good to me and my partner, and they've made us feel welcome from minute one. It's not just the team, it's the organisation as well that's done a lot for us. Inglis went on to say, I'm committed to staying with Warrington as a volunteer in a mentor role for the rest of the season.
That's a Cal Fitzpatrick idea, isn't it? Volunteer.
Yeah.
He's volunteered to walk my dog for me.
Oh, how have you been going there, Sam? Has your dog been pissing on his lawn? What's been the latest update on that since?
Ever since he retired, the dog walks straight past and pisses two doors down.
Oh. Have you knocked on the door to see who lives there? Can we get them to play right centre?
It might be Jake Mamo, you never know.
Well,
I hope he does provide something for the back room, because I tell you what, if we do get to them final three games at the end of the year, it'd be nice to have him somewhere helping out and advising him and saying, don't be a fucking idiot and this, that and the other. Sure, he'd probably say
Is that your kind of speech? Is that your it's hardly Gareth Southgate, is it? It's not like put your arm round a player. Your team talk before the Super League Grand Final is, don't be a fucking idiot. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it's probably good advice, actually, nowadays.
George Williams has signed with Wire on a 3.5-year contract. Wire chairman Stuart Middleton admitted bringing Williams to the club partway through the season was extremely challenging. It leaves Rob Butler serving the rest of the season on loan, waiting on the fans at Lee Centurions. Do you like my little serving and waiting? Yeah, it's good, that, isn't it? It's good, that.
I got it, yeah. It's good, that. Completely overrated.
Who, Rob Butler?
No, the other guy, George Williams.
We shall see in some statistics, shan't we?
Oh, all right. Well, we'll leave that. Excellent. Yeah, we'll leave Williams till we get on to Sam's statistics. We did put a vote out there. What's your preferred halfback Warrington pairing? We gave three options: Austin and Widdop, Austin and Williams, Williams and Widdop. It got 233 votes. It's the most lopsided vote I think we've ever had, in that 89.7% went for Williams and Widdop. Kind of sums up where we are with Flaky Blake. Sam, are you willing to drive him over to Hull KR this weekend?
Who, Flaky?
Yeah.
If he wants to go there, we'll give him a lift. Again, We'll shake hands and we'll wish him well, but...
Will we?
You know, we'll drive him.
Okay. I'm presuming on the fact that also the news has broken that Widdop is going to stay at Wire next year until the big NRL offer comes in and he changes his mind, that Austin is on his way. There's no contract for Austin next year by the looks of it, Sam.
That's as far as we understand it. But nothing official has been said. I don't know whether that's the club making keeping their options open with Widdop, but as far as I understand it, it will be Widdop and Williams next year.
There's been a few people contacting us going,
we could play Austin at loose forward. Why don't we play Austin at loose forward?
I want to see how many clubs he's been linked to before the end of the season, because he's been linked to Leeds.
Lee,
has he?
I just made that one up. I'll start that one.
Oh, no. Salford.
Everyone gets linked to Salford, don't
Hull
they?
Hull KR. Yeah. And what was the other one? There was another one as well. So he's more or less going to have done the rounds.
When you're on your way up, you're always linked to sort of Warrington and Wigan, aren't you? When you're on the way down, yeah, it's always Salford and Hull KR.
Do you know what, though? If Williams makes a difference that we hope he does, Austin could yet, if his attitude's right, be a key man off the bench.
Save that soundbite and play it back to him at the end of the season.
Yeah, could. I said could, if his attitude is right, when the game's broken or stretched in the second half, rather than bringing little Danny Walker on, you know, you could be bringing Austin on to run at the defence, but it will depend on his attitude.
A lot of coulds there, Sam. I mean, I could lose 4 stone and lose 20 years in age, and I could be an attribute in that final, couldn't I? There's a lot of coulds going on.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree. There's a lot of coulds and possibles and maybes.
Coulds is a good song to play out on.
Coulds. I'll have a look for that one. Okay, well, we'll see. Warrington have signed for the 2022 season. Castleford back rower Olivier Holmes on a 3-year deal. And centre Peter Matautier on a 2-year deal. Holmes is 28 years of age, having scored 40 tries in 219 games in Super League, with Matautier, aged 30, having scored 8 tries in 58 appearances since joining from Cass, when he went to Cass. I don't know much about him. I mean, my dad was raving about him, thought he was the best player on the field. I think, did he play for the All-Stars or whatever the other week? Did he play in that game or something and did okay?
Oh, that was a drab game. I turned that off. God.
Oh, I enjoyed that. I thought it was
normally
a great game.
Did you turn over to QI, Sam? You normally turn over to QI when things are bad.
I can't remember that one. I think I might have turned over to a bottle, actually.
Are you still watching...
Oh, dear. What a night that is. I turned over to a bottle. Gee, the dribbling on the floor. Christ almighty. Listen, where's the speed coming from? I mean, I think they published
You don't
something
need
on
speed in October,
media.
Dennis. Oh, this is true, Powell's actually. Plan.
Oh.
That's why he's bought another midget in Olivier Holmes.
Ah, right. Midget.
Are you allowed to say that anymore?
I don't know.
Jeez, I've just done a Steve Price.
Christ.
Oh, dear. The Boersteel rule is set to be dropped. That's sort of in there, isn't it? It's quite ironic that the Boersteel rule is set to be dropped. The rule, copied from the NRL, allows a player to steal the ball from an opponent if his teammates drop off the tackle. The RFL said the rule has created confusion for referees and players. There you go. The Governing Bodies Laws Committee will seek RFL board approval to remove the rule for the start of the 2022 season.
Is that why the to stop something like that Roosters guy running the opposite direction last week, because he was afraid he might get a ball steal in the last seconds? Do you see that?
Robinson didn't look that impressed, did he?
No, but obviously that was a bit ridiculous, wasn't it? Wasn't in the spirit of the game.
It's good to see that we've got continuity on both sides of the globe, isn't it? Like, you know, what they're going to do at international level. You can half steal a ball or something. It's a bit... it doesn't surprise me. It's created confusion for the referees. Kind of sums up Super League. Ah, dear. And Huddersfield Giants back rower Kenny Edwards has been banned for 10 games after he inappropriately contacted the arsehole of Catalan Dragons prop Sam Cassiano. Which leads us very nicely to...
We'll be right back. to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Fee-ee-ee bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Wah-ah-ah.
Yes, it's the free bar. Dennis, you've been the landlord this week. What's been going on at the free bar?
What can I get you, lads? What do you want to drink? Dennis. Dennis is on a Timothy Taylor there. Sam. Just a bottle of wine. Just a 5-gallon bottle. And Mr. London, what is it? A vegan spritzer kombucha up your ass.
That'll do me fine, thank you. Yeah, and a packet of vegan bug scratches. Thanks very much. I'll be in the corner with the Domino's.
Good lad.
Right.
Where's that barmaid gone with the big tits?
All right, that's enough. Right. I have an email from B. Nates of Padgate. Basically, on this subject, should we introduce short sentences? Being that shorts, illegal contacts with things in the shorts being the subject matter is what he was getting at. So, if we all remember John Hopewate in an incident a few years ago, you remember? He got 12 weeks for the same foul as Kenny.
I walked past John Hopewate at Warringah Mall, which is the Manly Mall. He is fucking massive.
Did you not ask him about the incident?
This is pre-incident. This was about 15 years ago. He had one of those sort of zip-up tops on, with the padding in. Made him look even bigger.
Have you got one of them on, Rob?
How dare you? Get on with this.
He actually did go on to play in a Legends of League tournament where he wore a white glove. Read it, it's on the internet. It's all there for you. It's not just rugby league. We've seen a Chilean footballer and a wrestler. Although, when I watched the video, because I did my research, I had to type it in.
Dirty bastard.
I did think it was a legitimate move, but the referee did rule that out. But the main thing, these incidents all happened with the finger being on the other side of the shorts rather than inside the shorts.
Oh, it was basically in a condom, a short condom.
A short condom.
Which finger do you use? Which is the best one?
Well, Hopewate used his strongest finger, that one, and it's the middle one.
For all of them.
The guy actually, and the wrestling video I watched, he almost, it was like a fisting thing. Had his whole hand in there as he was dragging the thing. But you could have a look.
As a wrestler, you get quite sweaty, so there'd be a fair bit of lubrication down there, you'd think, by about round four to get the fist.
The Chilean footballer, he just used his little index finger.
You could just imagine a Chilean using his little finger, couldn't you? Those South American.
But I can't find the video for Kenny Everett, yeah.
Well, using those big brotherly love hands.
Oh, God. That would have been terrible, but it makes you wonder. But I mean, come on, lads. I mean, do you think it was intentional, Rob?
I've never fingered anyone not intentionally.
What about in Yugoslavia?
That was a lot of Tuborg I drunk that night.
I mean, Sam, what do you think? Is it an intentional act? I mean, the Hopewate one, when you look at the video.
How many times can you say Hopewate and say it differently?
I'm working
like
on
Matautier. Okay.
The other question we need to ask while we're in the free bar is why have we seen three incidents this season? Yeah, it's like being in jail, isn't it? It's almost like, you're in jail with two nut jobs
That's very interesting you should say that, because wait till the lockdown letter.
Fair enough. But there's been three incidents this year, and these are few and far between usually, but it seems to be something's going on.
Depends which nightclub you go to.
Yeah. Anyway, I went and sent a message to the RFL for comment. If basically tougher sentences will be employed in the future. They said the final decision will be made that will address these types of incidents, and the recent finger up the bum example will be covered by Ralph's new initiative called Rimmer's Law.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Okay, George Williams, the new superstar halfback, is he finally going to bring the glory, Super League glory, to Warrington Wolves? Well, I thought we'd start off by looking at his statistics this year at Canberra.
I tell you what, Sam, I hope we're not tempting fate, but when you started that whole intro, your screen froze and then all your voice went weird. So
it did.
I
mean, it's being recorded, it's fine, but I just worry if that's now the sign that this is the way George Williams is going.
Yes. Okay. Well, I went on to nrl.com that has every statistic you could possibly imagine.
Does it have fingering statistics?
It does have fingering statistics, but a bit like Toronto Wolfpack, he's been expunged from the records, and all you've got next to George Williams, a bit like when Stuart Broad got done by that Aussie newspaper where they just put a silhouette of him and refused to mention his name.
Is that what they've done?
So, yeah. So I had to go back game by game to find what he's done so
far.
Have
they replaced his face in Australia Press with Kirk Stevens?
Well, we'll come on to what his face looks like shortly. But,
insulting. Yeah. This is insulting comments coming.
No. So, first of all, I went back to his last season in Super League and compared 2019 Williams with 2019 Blake Austin. Blake Austin that year scored 18 tries, Williams 14. But Williams assisted 21 tries, Austin just 12. Tackles, Williams made 488 and missed just 44. Austin made 360 and missed 77.
Whoa.
And the rest.
Williams made more tackle breaks, 122, than Austin's 115. Mm. Austin did make more clean breaks, but Williams made 46 offloads compared to Austin's 21. Mm. And gave fewer penalties away as well.
What was
fifth frame?
What was George Williams' highest break that year?
It was 72. Hmm. He missed an easy blue, actually, where he could have gone on to clear the table.
Yeah, it was a green. Someone shouted out at the JJB.
Yeah, was it the green? Anyway, yellow. This year, I had a look at what
he sink any browns
there at Canberra. No, not with his fingers. He used a stick to do that.
Oh.
You've really come on fire now. It's your section, Sam. Yeah. Up till now, you've like had a bit of Alzheimer's or something.
He's done a load of work. He's done some good work here, hasn't he? This is good.
He has.
And this is a good Blake Austin, isn't it? 2018. It's not. Yes. It's not the flaky Blake of now.
2019. Yeah. Mm. This year, Williams has played 10 times for Canberra, scored 3 tries, 6 try assists. In Australia, they also give a stat. Line break assists, so he's put people through holes a further 7 times.
Let's not mention the word holes.
No, we don't give that statistic.
So don't say holes. Yeah. Change that, Sam.
Tackle breaks 17, and more interestingly than anything, perhaps, kick 16 goals at a percentage of 88.9%.
Has he?
Which is more than Widdop, who's currently kicking at 84%.
I hadn't thought of him as a goal kicker.
No.
But as a backup goal kicker, Croker was injured for quite a bit of Canberra's early season, so he took over the goal kicking duties. So anyway, given that NRL.com didn't have his vital statistics and relied on Wikipedia for these, apparently he's 5'11" tall,
Is he?
He's 91, apparently. He's 91 kilos, which is 14 stone 5. Or, if you take his nose away, he's 88 kilos.
Ah, it's not that's just me.
He won the Super League. Super League with Wigan 2016 and 18. And obviously, when I then went on to look at a nose, and a Roman nose, is, or an aquiline nose, is one with a prominent bridge. And it comes from Latin, aquilinus, aquilnilnus, which is
like... Where's he playing?
Yeah, exactly. Which is like the curved beak of an eagle. So I'm hoping he's going to swoop into the HJ and give us some leadership, just like that proud golden eagle that his nose looks like. There you go. That's George Williams.
I have to say, Sam, you know what? You've changed my mind. I said he was overrated, and now I'm starting to think, actually, there might be something in it.
It's time for a new section to the show. Well, I say new. We've just rebudged it. Yes, wait for it. It's time for... It's coming. Yes, here it is. Lockdown. I said lockdown. Yes, lockdown. Lockdown letters. Emails. Texts. Tweets. Twitches. MySpace. Bebo. Friends reunite. Those wankers that write on walls in toilets. You know the ones. Put little dicks on the walls with a sort of hole. It turns out to be a glory hole if you stick your cock through it. Not that I'd know that. Anyway, it's time for Lockdown Letters.
Yes, there it is. It's back. Lockdown Letters. Now, I know, boys, that you've both come out of... Don't sigh, Dennis. Jesus, have a drink. I know you've both come out of lockdown, but here in Sydney, we've gone into a little mini lockdown, a very soft lockdown, but nevertheless, we're in lockdown. So I think this letter was appropriate. It has come in a bit late, but I think it's fine, boys. So you want to have a lockdown letter? Ready for a lockdown letter, lads?
I don't think we've got much choice, have we?
Dear, what would Brian Bevan say? I'm not sure if my lockdown letter is suitable now, what with the lockdown, hopefully a thing of the past. I guess none of us will miss lockdown, but I will certainly miss your podcast catchy lockdown jingle.
Yeah, fuck off.
When did you write this on the plane back?
How dare you? Can we have some respect for our lockdown letters, please? My name is Danny Laroon. I was born in Annecy, France, hence my surname. But in 1978, as a small boy, I moved from the UK after my father was seconded to manage the frozen food store in Warrington, Cordon Bleu. The store used to be next to the old Argos on Friar's Gate and was one of the first outlets in the British Isles to stock Wall's Viennetta ice cream. You like a Wall's Viennetta ice cream, Dennis? What do you remember then?
Yeah.
They were too cold, weren't they? Like, you couldn't get your bloody spoon into them.
Yeah, but that's because you need to take them out of the freezer for a bit first.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah.
We never had them south of the river, did we, Sam? Because we were always on gelato back in the 1970s. Thank you. So, not to be left out in the cold and surrounded by... I'll do the gags. Now, so, not to be left out in the cold and surrounded by my new environment... As an impressionable child, I soon became a Wire fan, standing in the Fletcher Street end, barely fluent in English, trying to understand a sport that was foreign to me. It was only years later, when I attended university, that I realised my English wasn't too bad, and it had been the inarticulation of the Wire fans holding me back from my development of the English language.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Anyway, I soon embraced the game of rugby league and Warrington, with my favourite player being Rick Thackeray. I think his long flowing locks reminded me of home and the fabulous actor Gerard Depardieu. Has he been done yet, Operation Yew Tree? Is he in the clear still? Jeopardy, is he? Not sure. Thought he was a bit of a Bill Cosby, wasn't he?
He wouldn't come under here, would he? I mean, he looks nothing like Thackeray.
He might have done in the late 70s, early 80s.
Dad's job didn't last long at Cordon Bleu. Sales of Walls Vionetta were down. But thankfully, he did make friends with a few Belgian scientists in Warrington working at Laporte's. So one thing led to another, and my father found employment there, managing their adhesives factory, a job he stuck with all his life. And so, the Laroon family name stayed and multiplied in Cheshire ever since. My story really starts, though, and the reason I write, links to my chosen career as a prison officer. See, Dennis? Linking together tonight. I worked in the profession for nearly 30 years, with my role not ironically locking down, but locking up many a hardened villain. I held keys at HM Prison Risley, TMS Thorn Cross, before a treacherous time serving on the wings of HMP Manchester, or known at the time as Strangeways. Mm-hmm. Didn't your sister do a gig at Strangeways once, Dennis? Remember all those years ago, and she did a gig there?
Yeah, she did. She did something. I don't know if it was there. I don't know. Can't remember. Too far back.
However, if you are to move up within the HMP officer rankings, the job entails you move. So I ended up at a brief introductory stint at the Victorian-built Armley in Leeds, before finally moving to Sutton Prison, also in Yorkshire.
Just took some research on it.
Having left the prison service a few years back, I now feel it okay to tell my lockdown Warrington tale. I've come across many rugby league fans doing time. They tend to be on the west side of the Pennines, repeat offending petty criminals from the likes of Widnes, or on the other side of the moors, pig thick shit Wakefield supporters. That's about right, isn't it? Yeah. So it came as a complete surprise when serving on my first day in 1991 on the high security wing at Sutton, I entered the prison ward and the solitary confinement facility to find a rather slim, reserved, spectacle-wearing Scotsman with Warrington posters all over his cell walls. And even more surprisingly, mainly of only two wire players, orange and white crayon drawings of Martin Crompton and semi-erotic pencil sketches he'd drawn himself of Alan Bateman. Looking at the artwork, I'd say he definitely preferred Alan Bateman, as several of the sketches were implied with a heavy-handed, almost violent amount of charcoal around Alan's genitalia before being dipped to preserve the Welsh phallic pin-up in candle wax. You're right there, Sam.
No idea where this is going.
The prisoner's name, would you believe it, was Dennis. And with Dennis sharing a love of Warrington, we got on quite well, or as well as a prison officer like me and a life prisoner such as Dennis could do under my professional guidance. Dennis often said that all he wanted in his room was a view or a souvenir from Warrington. Apparently he liked keeping souvenirs. So before Dennis left my watchful eye and was transferred to Whitehall Prison, where he died in 2018, I wrote to the Warrington Club on Dennis's behalf. And in 1993, he received, through the post, a signed Roland Phillips jockstrap. Even though the jockstrap wasn't from his favourite player, Dennis was over the moon. Unfortunately, though, a few months later, the jockstrap was confiscated from Dennis's cell after on three separate occasions he tried to asphyxiate himself with the garment. Anyway, keep up the good work, boys, and I hope you liked my lockdown letter. I'm sure if Prisoner Nielsen was still alive today, you gents would arrange a prison visit from one of the Wolves team, perhaps such as young Danny Walker, who I'm sure will soon find his way behind bars anyway. Bonjour, Danny LaRue.
Oh, God. Is lockdown over now?
And welcome back now to a sitcom we all prayed had gone away. Yes, you and I guessed it, Mutiny on the HJ. One has almost got to the stage where I'd be willing to take a pay cut if it meant I'd be relinquished from introducing this tosh. I mean, not having to listen to that incompetent Antipodean Mr. Price ever again would be a small price to pay.
Oh, Ralphie, it's good to be back in the South Pacific seas. It's just bloody lovely. Why, yesterday I saw a pod of dolphins come right up to the boat and try and communicate with the Pliers crew.
Oh, yes. I think it was a tad tricky for the dolphins to lower their intelligence so much.
Oh, it's a pity we'd run out of fish to throw them.
Indeed. Professor Broomhead ate 4 tons of sardines for his breakfast. He farted and followed through after morning tea. His anal slick was more than a match for the Exxon Valdez tanker disaster.
Yeah, Rolfie, it's taken me all day to hose down Flikey Blike. I'm not sure he'll ever sidestep again.
I wouldn't worry, Stevie. I doubt we'll notice any difference. He was all washed up anyway. Now, Stevie, with you being so close to your shores of home, I thought it best if you took hold of the rudder. Now, do you think you'll be able to steer us all the way into harbour?
Oh, gee, Rolfo, I struggle to circumnavigate Bridge Fat.
Look, Stevie, it's now or never. You've been sailing the ship for 4 years. Best we stretch the players' legs before once and for all we set sail for Old Trafford.
Oh, do you think if I do make it, Rolfo, they'll build me a statue like that Brian Bevan?
Well, you never know, Stevie. I mean, they did build a statue of Oliver Cromwell, and from what I hear, he too was a right...
Oh, that reminds me, Rolfie. Third Officer Briars to the poop deck.
You do need to press the switch down, Stevie.
Oh, yes, sorry about that, Rolfo. Communications have never been my strong point. I've never done pubic relations since my time back in Woolamaloomaloomaloo.
Yes, it does bring a whole new meaning to being lost in the bush.
Third Officer Bryce to the poop deck. Over.
Now, what's the plan, Captain Stevie? Is Third Officer Bryce going to assist you with tactical tic-tacs and navigational expertise to pick up the Gulf Stream and get us back by October?
No, I just thought we'd have a cup of coffee.
Here you go, lads. A coffee all round us per orders. It's Margot's favourite. Shall I place it on the obsolete Antipodean wooden shelf?
Well, that's nowhere to talk about, Stevie.
Enjoy, boys. It's strong. And as Jerry said from next door, with the strength of John Bateman.
Oh, yes. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, well, that's excellent. I do hope you've not used those looted Sumatran civet cap beans again.
No worries whatsoever, Admiral Rimmer. Barbara and I grew these coffee beans in our own garden.
Oh, that's great. The last coffee left me stuck on the shitter all the way through the last episode of the Super League show. The ship's loo looked like a Jackson Hastings Pollock when I'd finished.
Now, is there anything else I can get you, gentlemen? Ah, it's the good life.
Nah, all good, Brizey. All sweet, fella. Why don't you go and open the bar for the boys and crack open a few tinnies? I think the Marquis of English is doing a talk tonight on pensions and retirements.
Oh, goodness me, Stevie. You're so organised nowadays. Where's this change of inspiration and positive attitude coming from?
Well, Rolfie, you know how some of the Players crew created their new acronym, PRG?
Oh, yes, Stevie. You mean where the lack of direction with meaning and motivation from the coaching officers left the players' crew with no option but to form their own PRG, or as they say, positive reinforcement group?
Well, me and the coaches' crew have done our own version. We are to be known as Trofford Winning Award Team Selectors.
Yes. Well, I suppose technically your acronym does put you nearer to a ring.
Well, mutiny on the HJ. I suspect that tonight I now understand childbirth. A woman often says it's the most painful thing she does and she would never do it again. But then a year later they forget the pain and they want another child. Well, in my case, it's just been a month and I've forgotten just how much this shite hurts my ears.
Oh, bloody hell! Christ almighty. Any highlights, Sam, this week?
Well, it brought back some nice memories of the good life and Penelope's bum.
I should probably apologise about that. Dennis wrote it down as Briars, not Briars. And it wasn't until it had been recorded that I realised we'd got it wrong. So, sorry about that.
Everybody needs good rumours. With a little understanding, you can find your perfect blend. Come on, Stevie, join in, lad.
Rumours should be there for one another. That's when good rumours become good friends.
Jesus, I'm going to have to sing this at Lee as well. Christ.
Who wants to start with the rumours? What rumours do we have? Are all the rumours now come true? Are they all signed off and delivered? Or do we have more rumours? Rumours coming our way. Sam.
I don't know. Come on, Sam.
Of new players coming in, no, but I did hear the rumour that we wanted Sitter to go and spend some time at Salford, and he flat refused.
He just won't go, will he? That seems to be the reason. He just hangs around.
I believe that Salford wanted him to play a full half of rugby, and that's why he didn't go.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
It's harsh, but we were thinking
we got a bit of a rumour going on that there's maybe a hooker coming in from Lee. Is there something going on there, possibly?
Well, we got wind that Pete's was being offered around by Lee. And
Pete? What, for the garden?
Pete's.
Yeah. Oh, Pete's. Nathan. Sorry, plural.
Nathan Pete's. But he's ended up going to Huddersfield this week.
Oh.
Only on loan for the rest of the season.
Oh. We, of course, didn't back Ian Watson at Huddersfield. We said that things would go tits up there, Sam, and you were an advocate of Watson. I mean, how do you feel now after all this? Like, where are you feeling on this at the moment? You've got a caveat.
I'm feeling quite vindicated at the minute, at least until the next time we play Huddersfield and they beat us and you have a laugh at me again.
Well, talking of Huddersfield, is Plummer Hill on his way to Huddersfield? Is that going to happen? Two-year contract offered?
Rumoured a two-year contract, yes, isn't it? Rumoured a two-year contract.
Didn't I hear him linked with Hull KR as well?
I think everyone's linked with Hull KR, aren't they, Dennis?
Yeah, I think that must be the case.
Obviously, they've signed Coote from St Helens now as well, haven't they? I don't. They must be putting some money in.
I've got a little bit of a rumour, actually. It's more of a scoop.
Oh, go on, scoop away.
Well, in the very near future, there will be a Melbourne prop signing for Wire.
Christian Welsh?
You've heard it here first. I'm saying no more.
Right, is that it?
That's it. That's it.
I've got a rumour. Rumour has it Darryl Powell will be bringing his own nutritionist over from Castleford in 2022. At a recent press interview, he was asked if his new nutritionist will be bringing some fresh ideas to Warrington. Darryl was quoted saying, with nearly 30 years' experience, he's hoping his new appointment will be able to bring out the best in the players. He confirmed that Aunt Bessie will link up with the club in January after the busy Christmas period.
Do you think we need to bring in some kind of ban on anyone trying to say a word with more than three syllables in? Because tonight it has been absolutely shithouse.
And we've not had a drink either. Well, I've not anyway.
No.
Ah, dear. Okay.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Yes, it's back to predictions, boys. And it's Lee Centurions. Like, just reading it, like, all the blood just drains into me feet. Lee. Right, how much are we going to win by, Sam?
If we put out anywhere near a full team, you'd expect us to win by 30.
Mm. Yeah.
Is there any reason why we're not going to put a full team out, or is it just because the shit?
Well,
have we got a full team?
Just at the minute,
on...
we don't know who's got COVID, who's not, who's isolating, who's not.
Oh, yeah,
and the same for them. Same for them.
So if you've got COVID, you know, and it's just mild symptoms, etc., sort of from the date it's you're tested with it and you're positive, how long do you have to stay away from playing rugby league? I mean, is it a few weeks?
I thought it was 10 days, wasn't it? Or was it 2 weeks? It's 10 days for self-isolation.
Right. So there's time for them all to kick back on the park then?
Okay. There's criticism this week about players in Super League testing positive and the Championship. Not suffering from the same sort of problems.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's a bit, you know, you've got all those footballers living behind big walls in Wimslow without their partners really working, you know, compared to a demographic of people whose wives probably work and, you know, they're all living in shit boxes north of the river. So it's, you know, it's different, isn't it?
Although you've perhaps articulated that not in the way I would.
I was going to say.
The point is a valid one, that we've got a game where people are mixing far more. The clubs haven't got the finance to put in a proper biosecurity bubble or whatever they call it. And so we are more likely to get the... We are more likely to get the cases, aren't we?
Yeah, it is what it is. All right, so we're all in agreement that we're going to beat Lee. Mm. We'll just touch on it very briefly because, of course, it is the Challenge Cup final and we've got Saints versus Cass. Dennis, can you see Powell and his Cass team that's all been rested doing a job on Saints?
It'd be interesting if it's much like we did, where, you know, they are seen as the underdogs and then on the day. He puts a plan together and the team are really up for it, more so. However, Saints have been here before and probably would have learnt from the experience we had with Warrington. So I think it would be a bit more of a challenge for them. But I can't really see beyond Saints. I mean, yeah, I think it'll be Saints.
Mm. Sam, could you see Cass turning Saints over? Or has what Dennis said pretty much hit the nail on the head?
I think what Dennis says is right. Saints are certainly the favourites. But every now and again, Castleford do bring out these performances. And it's going to be a dry, hot day. It's going to be a day for throwing the ball around. And once every 4 or 5 games, they click. Let's see if it's one of those...
Yeah.
One of those days on Saturday.
Is this Saints team coming to the end of an era? Because there seems to be, from what I can see, a little bit of reporting going on that Saints are struggling to find a bob or two. You know, they've been outbid for players.
Yeah, they're under financial pressure and all is not well with the fan base. There's a lot of grumbling, a lot of negativity towards the club at the moment. They don't like the coach. He plays negative, boring rugby, according to all. I don't usually read message boards, but when we won 6-2, I took a trip over to the Red V message board for a bit of gloating. Bloody
dirty
hell!
You'd have thought.
Are they on the internet in St. Helens?
About 96 of them are.
Is it like a DOS-based screen?
It is. Yeah.
I think out of all this, the more pertinent question is, if Castleford do lose, what's Darryl Powell's remaining season going to look like? And, because you've seen some of the people suggesting that if they do lose, then there's nothing else to play for. Mm. He's out sooner before the end of the season. I don't know what they'll gain from that. Or
could you imagine
bringing
him in, though? Is it Radford? I mean... God, he was a so-and-so at Hull, wasn't he? Just, I don't know, like, doesn't excite me if you're a Cass fan and you're bringing him in. My God. Mm. They've got 12 months of depression coming up with that bloke in charge. My goodness.
All right.
Well, with the football turning out not quite the way the Three Lions planned, it's a podcasting pussycat goodbye from us. So from a domestic mug with a litter tray full of statistics, it's an all the best meow from Sam.
All the best.
From our very own Garfield, coming from left field, it's a purring be seeing you from Dennis.
Well, saying well.
I'm Rob London, our metaphorical bagpuss, that once upon a time, a long, long time ago, waited for a little girl called Emily to bring me a Super League title. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Oh, I tell you, I haven't missed this shit.
At least you don't put your finger in it.